My name's Dave. I'm one of the pastors here, and we want you to have a sense of being welcome here. Past few weeks, I've been, taking a little break, doing some undivided attention on the home reno, some focus on family. Great to see mom, dad, brother, my brother's kids, three little nephews, and I was making sure, as a good uncle, I was introducing them to the good life, and so I got them, you know, the plastic bat and the plastic ball. They're 4, 2, and 0. No, 4, 2, and almost 1. And I made sure that that plastic bat and plastic ball had Blue Jays all over it. So train them while they're young, right? So, and then took some courses last week on leadership and facilitation. So that was good. And back here with you this morning. So I had a 2 to 3 week absence. For some of us, it's maybe longer. Maybe it's been 3 months. Maybe it's been 3 years. Maybe it's been longer. But just want to invite you into the community of faith to bring who you are before God to look for wisdom and strength for your life. As I was preparing for this service, Psalm 13, the psalm that we read, kept coming to mind. So we're going to reflect on Psalm 13 this morning. It's a psalm that is really captured in this lament, in this prayer, "How long, O Lord?" It's an expression of great heartache that connects with the soul, that has connected with us as human beings through the centuries. Have a quote I'll read you from the 14th century. We have a scripture here from 10th, 11th century BC. It's a prayer that we have reflected on through the ages that reflects the struggle of life and soul and the prayers of faith. So I want to invite you in, wherever you're coming from, whatever your how long is, to bring it before the Lord here, and may He speak to you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, it's a deep longing of the heart that we reflect on today. Our grief, our pain, our sorrow that we hold, that we bear, that we want taken away. We bring those things in our lives to you this morning. We bring those in our faith community and in our families, in our friendships, and on our street who we know who are struggling. We bring them before you in our hearts. We lift them up to you, Jesus, the great intercessor, and we pray that you bring them before the Father, that you will be answering their prayers. We pray that your good news will go forth from this congregation, from this church, from today, through soccer camp this week, through our lives that we live. Speak to us, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. I want to read again this psalm. Doesn't it feel like sometimes you don't always catch everything the first time? You just keep reflecting. And that's a means of faith, of continually praying the same prayer, continually praying the same psalm, the same scripture, that practice of Lectio Divina, this form of prayer, of slow reflection. So let me read it again. For the choir director, a psalm of David. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I'll die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. We all come with a different feeling to the Lord as far as what the impressions of our soul are right now. But there's some truth that he's going to lay for you this morning, whether immediate need or in future, and we seek him in that. What I really want to hit home is that when we're in distress, we can call out to God. This Psalm 13 says, when we're in distress, we can call out to God. This is what it's all about. So verse 1 to 2 is all about our questions. When we're in distress, we can call out to God with our questions, our deep questions of life. Verses 3 to 4, this is our prayer response to these questions, our requests. When we're in distress, we can call out to God with our requests. And lastly, verses 5 to 6, when we're in distress, we can call out to God with our praise and our prayers. We can call out to God with our prayers. So let's go deeper in reflection. And as I jumped back into the saddle here this morning, I was drawing on some rich thoughts from an Imago Dei devotional and Charles Spurgeon sermon. And yeah, a quote from Julian of Norwich from the 14th century. So verse 1. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Do you notice how many times it says how long in those first two verses? You count them? How many are there? If you count four, that's what I count. The four, especially in Hebrew, the more you repeat something, the more intense it is. And usually three is like the utter intensity. This one has four. It betokens very intense desire for deliverance and the great anguish of heart. There's some impatience that could be read into it, like if you've been traveling like I have with my kids, how much longer, Daddy? How much longer? And in that sense, this psalm is a great kind of intertwining with where we've been this year in this past series of the need for patient endurance as we ask, how long, Heavenly Daddy, how long? And there's also this sense of the need to put the Lord on the throne. So I think that captures our 1 Samuel and 2 Peter series of where we've been this year. This is this Psalm of David. So here we are in Psalm 13 reflecting the need for patient endurance. And there's just this also, just we need to hear the emotion. And we need to share in that, this prayer, this anguish of the heart. How long? How long can I get, how long until I can get this anxiety away from me? How long do I have to sit in this grief? How long do I have to be stuck in this position? How long until we can finally break through? Time seems to fly in summertime, doesn't it? And winter sure can take a long time. Same is true with the heart. It seems that time flies by in joyfulness. And it just ekes along in sorrow. How long will you forget me? Does our Heavenly Father forget us? I don't think it's a prayer of logic, but a prayer of emotion. For God surely won't forget us. Who knows the hairs on our head, who knows whose name is written on the palm of his hand. Can his heart forget his own beloved child? No. But this, How long? It goes on. We get a sense of it. How long will you look the other way? Again, as a dad, I have a daughter who, like, if I'm talking to someone and she really wants my attention, she will just stick her head right in the middle until I look at her eyes. I'll look around, like, trying to keep talking. No, I need you to see my face. I need you to look into my eyes. And isn't it like that? Isn't that what the psalmist is getting at? How long will you look the other way? I want the reassurance. I want the joy of looking into your face, my Heavenly Father. Sometimes it seems like God hides his face from us. A hidden face is no sign of a forgetful heart, though. Yet to a real child of God, the hiding of the Father's face is a terrible thing. Psalm 51, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Lord, don't turn your face on me, away from me. This is why we take sin so seriously, because we don't want our Heavenly Father to turn away. He can't not judge sin and his holiness. And he calls us to repent of our sin. But it's like, oh, we lose a sense of his presence as we sin. But he's always there, but there's this sense of loss of his face, of his closeness when we live in sin, when we continue in our sin. It's troubling. Verse 2, how long must I struggle with this anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? Do you know this one? Have you known seasons? Do you have someone deep in your life who is living this one? How long, O Lord? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? The laughter of a foe grates horribly. We all have a foe in the devil, and he delights in our misery. How awful. Some of us can put tangible faces to this word enemy. Others of us, I think we equate it with health or financial struggles or mental health battles. Enemies. How long takes various different shapes, and that's very true of our life, and it's true of this psalm. It's tempting always to make the worst of the how long. We set up monumental stones over the graves of our joys, but who thinks of erecting monuments of praise for mercies received? It's a quote from Charles Spurgeon. We set up monumental stones over the graves of our joys, but who thinks of erecting monuments of praise for mercies received? We write 4 books of lamentations and only 1 of canticles. Now that's a word long gone, but we can amplify the sorrow and lessen the praise and the joy. And that's why it's always important to build these monuments of thankfulness to remember what God has done in our life. Verse 3, turn and answer me, O Lord my God. So he uses the covenant name of God. It's not just not God general, the Lord, Yahweh, I am who I am, the God of Israel, the specific God who is the deliverer of David. And for the David is said to be, or Jesus is said to be the son of David, right? And he is the, as David reveals God clearly, Jesus reveals him most clearly. The Son of David, Jesus, a descendant of David, comes as the Messiah and makes clear in the fullest way that we've seen in life and history who God is. He bears the covenant name of God. God personally reveals himself. He is a knowable God. Now we pray and lift up our voices Note the cry of faith, O Lord, my God. Our interest in our God is not destroyed by all our trials and sorrows. From the faintness and dimness of vision caused by despair, there is but a step to the iron sleep of death. Verse 3, restore the sparkle to my eyes or I will die. Often have the metaphor of, so often we lose a sense of vision in life and we just look at one step after the other. We lose sight of perspective of what's all above us, what's in front of us, or what's greater, the transcendence of God, the transcendence of life. And that happens in sorrow and despair, in anguish, in worry, in anxiety, in pain. It's the call again to restore my vision, O Lord. Here's my prayer, Lord, my request. Restore my vision. And the greatest way to do that is put your eyes back on Jesus. There's so many examples of that through the scriptures. Think of Peter as he begins to sink like a rock, as he goes out to walk on water, as his eyes leave sight of Jesus' face, and as he looks at the storms of life, he begins to sink like a rock. It's a great metaphor for our lives. Verse 4, don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. It's not the Lord's will that the great enemy of our soul should overcome his children. He is our Father. He knows, he is more loving. He knows us more than anyone else we know. That person, that dad, that loved one, that mentor, that friend who loves you dearly is a small picture of the great picture of our God's love for us. Never think that he forgets us. Never think that he doesn't love us. We are in covenant relationship with him, and whether we let go or not, he doesn't let go. The day is coming when the shame will change sides. And there's this transformation in the psalm. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. There's a time when the rain ends, when the storm ends, and you hear the birds chirping again. The storm passes. The mercy seat of God has so refreshed David, the poor weeper, that he clears his throat for a song. If we have mourned with Christ, let us now dance with him. David's heart was more often out of tune than his harp. How true is that? I don't know, musicians, how true is that of yourself in your own life? What gets more out of tune? Your heart or your instrument? Something to reflect on. David is sure of his faith, and his faith makes him sure. Spurgeon again uses this powerful metaphor. Here is the avowal of David's confidence, but I have trusted in thy mercy. For many a year it had been his wont to make the Lord his castle and tower of defense, and he smiles from behind the bulwark still. So that's a wall of defense. He is sure of his faith, and his faith makes him sure. Had he doubted the reality of his trust in God, he would have blocked up one of the windows through which the Son of Heaven delights to shine. Think about that. Let me repeat it. Had he doubted the reality of his trust in God, he would have blocked up one of the windows through which the Son of Heaven delights to shine. So in that metaphor of the castle, it's like, if I block up the windows, then I can't receive the light. If I doubt that I'm going to receive from the Lord, that the Lord's going to come through, if I block that area through just living a life of doubt rather than faith, then there's not, like a window, the place for God's light to shine through. Makes me think of our society and how we love to tell stories of journey and lostness and just kind of go, the way through it, they say, is just accepting that. And to me, it's like, as what do we sing about the anchor in the song, that cornerstone song? What was the lyric? The anchor within the veil? Is that what it was? Yeah, the anchor within the veil. There's a lot of metaphors there. It's very profound. It's like our culture just says, if it's not working for you, you need to cut it loose. You need to cut God loose. You're in pain. Obviously, God's not there for you. I don't know if the culture means to say that, but it seems to say this is just life. And when it comes to the metaphor of an anchor, it's like being in a storm. And if God is our anchor, it's like we throw out the anchor. And there's this deep depth of our pain and our sorrow. And after about 20 feet, the anchor hasn't done anything. 30 feet of our pain, 40 feet, 50 feet of our pain. And you just, it's like a lot of the advice is, well, it's not working. Cut the anchor loose. No, the anchor hasn't served its purpose yet. You're not going to cut it loose yet. For those who have gone through great sorrow, how much sweeter is joy having come through the sorrow? We don't know all the mysteries of life, of how God lets us carry sorrow, how it seems like His presence can be far from us in great trials. But He is good. And if you hold on to Him in faith, He delivers. Our shame will be no shame in eternity. The trials we face, there will be no more sorrow in heaven. And in many ways, in the microcosms of life, not all our pain goes with us forward. There are seasons. Not that that's true in all our sorrows. And ultimately in eternity, God will make all things right. Just as we've reflected on David's life in our 1 Samuel series, think about it. This guy had real enemies. Goliath. King of his own state. The state was after him. The king was after him. The army was after him. Other states were after him. This guy had enemies. And yet his name meant beloved. That defined his life. The love of God for him defined his life. The love of others in the community of God defined his life. Not just that, it launched his life forward to deal with the trials, to deal with the struggles. And then as we look at the New Testament, we too are called beloved. We are the beloved of God. We are loved by Him. And reflecting on Jesus, the beloved Son of God, Jesus, Son of David, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Jesus is our hope. The cross matters. He has taken our sin and redeemed it through His blood on the cross, atoning us, making us right with God. One mediator for all humanity. Let me read Julian of Norwich from the 4th century. She says, "All of us whom Christ has rescued have within us a marvelous mingling of health and wounds, wholeness and sorrow. For we contain in our beings both Jesus, our risen protector, and Adam, who fell into death. In Christ, we are kept steadfastly safe. The touch of His grace on our lives raises us into the certainty of our safety. But at the same time, we are terribly broken, our emotions and vision shattered by Adam's fall, so that we experience pain, sin, and darkness. We revolt against the darkness, our minds filled with groaning, enduring the pain and sadness, praying for the time when the divine presence will once again be revealed to us. This is the medley of human life, faith and sorrow, insight and darkness, joy and agony, singing and counterpart through our days. But God wants us to know that through it all, the divine presence is the melody that never changes. God wants us to know that through it all, the divine presence is the melody that never changes. He is the tune, the rhythm and the pitch that we will ultimately hear, that will ultimately define our lives. So hold on to him. Verse 6. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. Thinking about what is it, Lord? Why do you want to say this today? It's so important that as a church, we can both hold both things together, right? Because this is the human condition. We need to praise him and live in great joy and give him the exaltation that he deserves. And we also need to be honest and recognize the brokenness of our condition. For those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, God the Father and Christ the Son have sent the Spirit to empower us, and the Spirit of God lives in us so that, yes, we bear Adam, the sin, the brokenness of the human condition, but we also contain the Son of God, the Spirit of the Son of God, the exalted one who will lift us up in eternity for his glory and our own. To him be the glory, though. So why now? Well, I know that the Lord speaks to us, and he's been speaking to you, and for some of us, this is the word you needed to hear today. For some of us, we'll need to have this in our back pocket for a future experience. Also thinking, as we go forward into who we are in soccer camp, there's 135 little kids from our community who we're going to love on next week, that our whole church has been gathering around, forming for, to proclaim the good news in their lives, to live in community and serve these kids, serve their families. Just reflecting on how many of these families, maybe some of these kids, definitely parents, people that are connected to these kids will have prayed this prayer. How long, O Lord? It's human. It's important for us to have connectors, to be real, to be able to share, yeah, I'm carrying this how long. And also the prayers. I think people in our community will have at times turned to God and said, oh Lord, or God, if you're out there, return the sparkle to my eyes or I'll die. Don't let my enemies gloat saying we've defeated him, we've defeated her. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. I think that's something people in our community would have gone through. And they need to see witnesses of people who go through the sorrows and anguish of life, who may be in it right now, who then say, but I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. And in it all, my eyes are on him. And we can all say it is well, ultimately, because of Christ and what he's done for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you that you do not forget us. You do not, you have not turned your face ultimately from us, though it feels like it. You are the Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth. God, you are the one who has come down in the flesh to reveal who you are and to make things right in this world, to introduce the kingdom of God here now. It is coming and is not yet fully come. We want to repent of our part, Lord. That, I don't know, that ways where we've just, I don't know, indulged in what is wrong, indulged in self-sorrow or self-pity. We've, instead of swallowing the bitter pill, we've defiantly chewed it and left the bitterness all throughout our taste of life right now. We bring those things which we need to repent of. We thank you that you are a great and incredible God. We thank you that joy will come in the morning. Lord, I trust that you will be speaking. May you speak powerfully to those who need to hear of your love and your presence this week in soccer camp. Lord, stir us as a faith community to be in prayer, to be in loving service on mission. Thank you for what you have before us. Today, right now, tonight in prayer, this week on mission, yeah. May you be revealing those who you would be calling us to minister to this week. Both those who we work alongside with and those with little legs and little arms and little feet and little hands, we pray that you'd be drawing them to yourself. Draw their parents to you. Draw their grandparents to you. May you be meeting and answering their how long. It's in your wonderful name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.